We have just 2 weeks that we are going to be spending in, and this is week two of something called How to Study the Bible. If you're like me, you want to shorten that, so it's HTSTB. This is our series that we are in. Last week, we kind of set the table for it. This is in the book of Philemon, and so it's kind of like a practical, hey, let's walk through Philemon together. Let's look at some tools that you can have. And this morning is kind of the mastering of the art of studying the Bible. Now, a quick disclaimer, some of you here, you've already got this figured out, and that's great, and that's what we want. Some of you have even better methods, but this is something that hopefully is for those of you that maybe are new to following Jesus. Maybe this is something that you've struggled with. Maybe studying the Bible is like a stop-and-go thing for you, where you're like, yeah, I can get into it for a little bit, but then it gets boring, or life gets busy, or any number of things. And so hopefully this helps you. Maybe it's just a good opportunity to get you kind of just back into that rhythm. We're at that time of the year where rhythms are important because, like Lawrence said, it's cold, but soon it'll be raining and it'll be gray, and you just kind of want to shut down and put on your sweater and drink your pumpkin spice latte or whatever it is that you like. But we still got to practice following Jesus. And so today is what we're calling mastering the art of studying the Bible. And here's one of the reasons why this is important. 2 Timothy tells us this straight from the Word. It says, all scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. So it's going to sort things out for you. It tells us, it corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. That's it. It's right there. The Bible's telling us why this is so important. Scripture is God's resource in guiding you. It's God's resource in helping you, in equipping you, in challenging you, in comforting, in showing us who he is. Sometimes we need a little bit of pushing and a little bit of nudging. Sometimes we need a whole lot of throwing, right? And so God does that through scripture. It's all about how we engage with him, how we know him in greater ways, and how we become who he wants us to be. So that's why we're doing this. That's why we're just taking 2 weeks leading into November. The holidays are going to be here before you know it. If you go to every major store, Walmart, Costco, I can't think of any other major stores off the top of my head. Those are the only two major stores we have in Kitsap, apparently. But Christmas is already here in those stores, right? We're bypassing Thanksgiving. It's Christmas is here. So let's begin with something important, and that is being in God's Word. Let me pray and then tell you a story. It's story time with Dustin. Lord, I thank you that today, God, your truth is right here. It's in this word that is alive. We thank you that you are still moving, you are still speaking, you are still working. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that means that your word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's never outdated. It's always on point. And so we thank you for that. We just ask, God, that this morning you would speak clearly. God, this, I pray that this message would challenge, it would encourage, it would strengthen, it would equip, it would do all of these things that we want it to do, so that throughout this week, throughout this year, going into the next year, as many days as you give us, God, we would spend time with you. So I thank you for that. Speak to this morning in your name. Amen. I want to take you back to 1899. Two traveling salesmen named John H. Nicholson and Samuel E. Hill. Maybe, now, before I go any further, if those names already sound familiar to you, that's impressive, all right? John H. Nicholson, Samuel E. Hill, they met in a shared hotel room at the Central House Hotel in a town called Baskerville, Wisconsin. Anybody ever been to Baskerville? Okay, I thought I saw somebody raise their hand over there, but they didn't. And the reason why they were there, they wanted to simply discuss the formation of a brand new association. That's really at the simplest place. Let's make a new association. The goal of it, though, was, hey, let's unite traveling salesmen to actively practice evangelism. United Salesmen for Evangelism. 9 years later, this small group of salesmen placed Bibles in the rooms of a small hotel in Superior, Montana. Anybody ever been to Superior, Montana? Yeah, see? Handful of you been to random places in Montana. Good job. The goal was simple. Bring peace and comfort to lonely travelers through the Word of God. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about here. Because by 2020, this association that we now know as the Gideons has placed over 2 billion Bibles in hotel rooms and other venues around the world, spanning 200 countries and territories. 2 billion Bibles, that's unbelievable. Thanks to the Gideons, countless people have had access to Scripture. Now, here's the thing about that, though. Even though they have done so much, and we know all about this, millions still around the globe don't have access to the Word. Millions of believers live in areas of the world where following Jesus is illegal, it's dangerous, it's life-threatening. There's severe persecution associated with it. The underground church, it's well documented that one of the great secrets in some of these countries is one of the healthiest churches that exists. Small groups of believers that gather together in hiding, desperate even to get their hands on just one page of Scripture. Reading by candlelight, memorizing, internalizing. In the book Radical by David Platt, he talks about a time when he spent a trip with this underground church, and he gathers together with them at night, and they're in hiding, and he's talking with them, and he thought he was just going to like read like a couple pages and kind of pray and things like that. They wanted him to tell the whole story of the Bible in one night. They were so hungry for that, and so he stayed up all night, explaining from the beginning to the end Scripture. And they were just locked in on that. If only you could be locked in for 30 minutes on what I'm sharing today like that. I'm kidding. Soon you'll smell the chili. You'll want to leave. It's okay. Fortunately for us, though, we don't live in that kind of a situation, do we? We're blessed. We can freely go to church. You can have your Bible. You can download the apps. You can watch the show. You can do all of that. We have access to Scripture at just about any moment. If you have a mobile device, if you have a physical copy of it, you can buy a Bible just about anywhere. You can go get one for just a little over a dollar at Dollar Tree. Some of you have, I mentioned the family Bible, some of you still have a family Bible that's like the size of a Honda Accord and it's sitting on the coffee table, right? The Bible is so easily accessible to us. But like I mentioned last week, statistics show us millions of believers either don't read it much or have just flat out stopped reading it altogether. Why? Why? Now, there's the obvious answer. There's things like, well, the Bible's boring. Or I don't get it. Or I don't believe it. Those are the obvious ones. I think, though, for most of us, we don't understand how to do it. And in one hand, we know how to read Scripture, but on the other hand, we don't. Maybe you've tried it, you didn't get very far. Maybe it hasn't made sense. I don't know, but I think for most of us, there's kind of just a missing link there. And it can sound weird. It can maybe even be embarrassing. I know, like, you follow Jesus for years and years and years, and then you find yourself like, man, I don't really know how to like read this. I don't really know how to get into this. And that can be maybe a little embarrassing for you. And no one really wants to admit that. And so I want to speak to this today. And the following statement is kind of our guide for this. And it's very true. I mean, this is a truth that we need to understand from the get-go. The Bible is meant to transform you and I, not just to inform us. This is not just an informational book. Now, the Bible has been used for incredible things from an informational standpoint. But it's not a guidebook. It's meant to transform you and I, to change us. The Holy Spirit works through Scripture and transforms our hearts, transforms our lives, transforms our thoughts. It works in those ways. And that's important for us to remember, especially those of you that maybe grew up in the sword drill era. Anybody ever do sword drills? I'm not talking about like with physical swords, right? Maybe you did that too. That's pretty sweet. Sword drills, which there's nothing wrong with them, but it's a good way to once again poke fun at my childhood. It's when, like, you know, it would be like you'd be in a group of kids or teens or whatever, and it's like, okay, guys, I'm going to tell you a Scripture. Such and such Scripture. And then you're like racing to get to it. And if you get there before the other person, you get like a Jolly Rancher or something like that. Right? Right? And then before you know it, you're like, I'm the fastest in the land when it comes to finding Scriptures, you know? And then the other people that weren't, they're like, I don't even know if I know how to follow Jesus. I can't get there. A little dramatic, but sword drills, right? And it was like, oh, if you can download this information really fast, go. Or it was like, if you were known to underline verses or highlight them, maybe you were a little more spiritual than the other person. right? And I tell you this because what does 1 Corinthians 8 tell us? It tells us that knowledge puffs up. Right? So it's not all about just downloading a bunch of knowledge, because if you do that and that's the way you're looking at Scripture, it's not going to work out for you. 1 Corinthians tells us, Paul instructs us, he says, hey, listen, some measure their spirituality by how much they know. Knowledge is good. Pursue knowledge. Don't be like Dustin wants us to be an idiot. I don't want you to be an idiot, okay? It's good, but as 1 Corinthians 8 tells you, it's love that strengthens the church. The Bible isn't just a book we study to know the knowledge. It's to be transformed by it. It's to encounter the living God. Rick Warren once said, the Bible should give us a bigger heart, not a bigger head. And I think that's good. James 1:22 tells us, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. So just a quick recap of what kind of the key things were from last week. First thing was this, choose a translation you understand, right? So sometimes we get caught up on like, well, what's the right translation? Or should I read a certain one? Or you read one, and you're like, man, this doesn't make sense to me. Find one that makes sense to you. Choose one that you understand. Choose a time and a plan, a place to study, right? So create that rhythm where it's you have that created space in your life. It's going to be here. It's going to be during this time. It's going to look this way, right? And it doesn't mean that you have to be legalistic about it. And it's like, oh, I got to do it and I have to sacrifice. But choose a time, create that. Understand the context. Context is everything. So know what the Bible is talking about. It's one of the easiest things you can do, and we'll look at some of this, but when you're reading Scripture, read before and after it. Get a picture of what that looks like. Read slowly. Ask questions. And then pray for God to speak to you. Pray that he would reveal this to you and that you would then apply what he's showing you. So those were some of the things we looked at last week. And I want to put these things into practice for the rest of Philemon. Last week we looked at basically the first half of that book. Let's look at the second half. And I think there's a few things that we need to know approaching this. And hopefully, over the past week, you have been practicing some of these things. Hopefully, this isn't just me saying things. You're like, oh, that's cool. And then we just go about our lives. Hopefully, this has been helpful, and you've actually started to create these rhythms. And there's a few things to keep in mind while making those rhythms happen. First thing is this. And again, just, I know a lot of you have this already figured out, but not all of us do. So I want to help you. First thing is this. When it comes to studying Scripture, start with a book of the Bible. Here's one of the first options you can do. Now, you might think to yourself, why wouldn't I start with a book of the Bible? Well, because sometimes we go to other things and we say, well, no, I'm reading the Bible. I'm reading this book. It was on Oprah once. No, that doesn't necessarily count. Here's the thing. You want to know the story of God? Well, begin in Genesis and Exodus. That's where the story starts. Start reading there. You want to know about Jesus? Go to one of the Gospels. In fact, the Gospel of John is one of the probably the best places to start out of the Gospel books. It's seen as maybe the most foundational of them. You want to know how to deal with everyday stuff. All of us deal with everyday stuff. You ever wanted to know how to deal with it, though? Go to Proverbs. Read the book of James. James is full of facing everyday things. Maybe you're in a time where you just need comfort. Maybe you're like, man, I need more devotional time with God. Or I want to be prayerful in Scripture. Where do I find that? The Psalms. It's beautiful. Maybe you want to know a little bit more about theology. Maybe you got a really impressive beard and you're like, I only read about theology. I don't know. But sin, repentance, forgiveness, Romans. Start there. So start with the book of the Bible. That's one of the ways in which you can create that rhythm. You can also start with a person in the Bible. Study people like Ruth, Elijah, Elisha, Peter, Esther, David, Saul, if you want to see how not to live, Paul, Moses. Like, those are some of like the key players. Obviously, there's Jesus. We know that. But you can study a person of the Bible. You can learn so many things from how David lived, the good things he did, the bad things he did, all that kind of stuff. You start with a topic in the Bible. And I think this is important for those that, like, maybe you grew up in like a legalistic home where it was, hey, like, hey, we got all these rules. And when it comes to following Jesus, you got to do all these things. And if you're not doing these things, then I'm not sure if we're really, maybe you need to learn a little bit about grace. So go to Galatians, read about God's grace. There are so many people around the world right now that are dealing with mental health challenges, anxiety, fear, depression, things like that. Did you know that the prophet Elijah, now the mighty prophet Elijah, who called down fire against false prophets, pagan prophets, like had a fire face off against them, and God, it's believed he likely dealt with depression. It's also possible he had suicidal thoughts. So this is something that pillars of Scripture faced. So you can start there. You can read about that. So you can pick a topic. The other thing is maybe just read through the whole Bible. Maybe you've read the Bible in 1 year plan. Anybody ever read the whole Bible? Yeah. How many of you have read the whole Bible? And you don't have to raise your hand. The thing that's remarkable about reading the whole Bible is oftentimes we read the whole Bible and then you're like, man, I want to do it again. And you read it again. You're like, I didn't even see this before. Right? And then you do it again. You're like, oh my goodness, how did I miss this? Right? God just keeps revealing things over and over and over. So maybe it's getting a Bible in 1 year plan. Maybe if you're hardcore, you do the Bible in 90 days. Yeah. Fun fact. I'm not going to call you out, John Bennett, but John Bennett made some really awesome bookmarks, and we have them out in the Welcome Center. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. So we have this picture of Jesus' willingness, his desire to pay our ransom. And we see kind of Paul's reflection on that. You recognize right away, Paul is saying, in all reality, like, God has shown me this. Jesus has shown me this. This is how I want to live. And we should take that and ask ourselves, how can I do that in my own life? See, the thing about Scripture is this, and it's a very important thing for us to know. The Bible is always to you, but it's not about you. The Bible is for you, but it's really not about you. The main story is it's always about God's love for humanity, God's love for broken people, and his redemption that comes through Jesus. That's the Bible. It's not about you, but since it's to you, it's not wrong or unwise to see yourself in the story. It's not wrong to see what God's saying to you. See, in Philemon, here's the thing. You've got three main characters, right? You've got Paul, you've got Onesimus, and you've got Philemon. And a question for you to ask yourself is, which one do you relate to? Who do you relate to in this portion of Scripture? You've got somebody like Paul. He's taken a risk on someone, right? Like, in all reality, Philemon had the legal rights to bring Onesimus back and charge him as a criminal. And last week we talked about slavery and things like that. But from a legal standpoint, Philemon had this. But Paul is taking a risk. He's saying, no, listen, this guy's different. He's been changed. He's now a brother in Christ. Paul is believing in others and what God has done. You've got Onesimus, he's in need of forgiveness. He's been fleeing, he's scared, and he needs a second chance. And then you've got Philemon, who's being called to forgive and reconciliation. Which one of those three do you relate to? The one that's taken the risk, that's believing, the one that is in need of forgiveness and redemption, or the one that just needs to provide that forgiveness, embrace that reconciliation? Which one do you relate to in this time in your relationship with God? And like any book in Scripture, and this is part of why it's so awesome when you read through it and then you go back to it. Depending on when you read the Bible, depending on what you're facing in life, depending on, you may find yourself relating to a different person. Right? Like if you are in just down in the dumps and you read the book of Job, you're going to be like, man, Job, you're my best friend. But if you're like, if life is going great and you read Job, you're just like, that's too bad. Right? Depending on where you're at, depending on what you're facing, you might find yourself relating in different ways. So what is God showing you? What is God telling you through your time in Scripture? Here's the thing. When we put these things into practice, when we actually do what we are talking about, we can answer those questions every day. That's when reading Scripture is more than just reading Scripture. That's when it starts transforming us. That's when it's really working. That's where we move from information to transformation. When we commit to knowing Him through His Word, He speaks to us. He guides us. He does everyone's favorite thing. He corrects us. Man, how cool is it when God corrects you? Like, isn't that your favorite? When you're just like, man, I got this figured out. And God's like, no, you really don't. Right? I love those moments. He empowers us. He forgives us. He transforms us. He conforms us to the image of His Son every day. Now, one more thing before we start to wrap this up. I've only got about 30 more minutes. Fast forward 50 years. This is so cool. This is so cool. Fast forward 50 years from when this letter to Philemon was written. Maybe you already know what I'm going to tell you. If you don't, your mind's going to be blown. There's a man named Ignatius. And if you're wondering who he is, if you've heard that name before, he's a famous martyr. He was the bishop of Antioch. He died for his faith. He was discipled by John, so he had a pretty good mentor. He was a very strong Christian. And he wrote a letter to the church in Ephesus. In that letter, he brags about the bishop of the churches in Ephesus. He's excited about what's happening there, and he's excited about who's leading it. And he calls this man a man of an inexpressible love, a man blessed by God, who granted unto you. So this bishop of Ephesus, he's being used in powerful ways, and he's leading in the right ways. He's doing incredible things for the church. Now, what do you think the name of that bishop was? Onesimus. Now, scholars believe that this Onesimus lived at the right time, had the right age, that he's the same man that Paul was writing on behalf of. This guy goes from being a slave on the run to helping lead the church in Ephesus. That's incredible. It's really another example of what's possible when God works in your life. I'm going to invite the worship team back up, and they're going to close this in a song in just a minute. Let me just end with this thought. Depending on the series, depending on what we've looked at, I've mixed in different things from Judaism and its practices, and I think there's a lot we can learn there. The study of the Torah, which is the first five books of the Old Testament, the Talmud, studying of Scripture was more important in ancient Judaism than daily sacrifices. And they had a lot of daily sacrifices they were supposed to do, but getting into the Word was far more important than that. There's one rabbinic tradition that even says that the Gentile who studies the Torah is at the level of a high priest. So it's very important. And I've shared this before, but I think it fits perfectly here. Judaism, it has a unique approach to Scripture. There's four levels of learning, four stages of studying. And let me just share them quickly with you, and I'll do my best to pronounce them right. The first one is Peshat. Basically, that's just reading Scripture. So that would be like your Bible reading plan. That would be like, hey, I'm reading it today. We're seeing it there. The second thing is Remez, which means hint. And that's talking about going a little bit deeper. So now you're starting to really start to unpack some stuff here. The third one is Darash. That's when you start connecting the dots between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Some of what we did today. You're taking what you're seeing here and you're going back and you're like, oh man, this really brings it to life. And the fourth thing is what we can't do, Sud. It's beyond what any sermon I give you can provide. It's beyond what any book you read, anything like that. That's where the Holy Spirit reveals the truth in a way that only He can. So do your reading. Do your homework. Keep going back to God's word. Work through it so that you can get to that place where you're encountering that sood. The Holy Spirit is revealing what only he can reveal. Why don't you stand? And if you just bow your heads with me. Jesus, I thank you that just as we just mentioned that you have sent the Holy Spirit to help us go deeper. I thank you that your Spirit is with us always and walks beside us always and helps us always. And I thank you that you're a God who is filled with grace, is filled with mercy, but also challenges us. And so, Lord, I pray that this morning we would feel a little bit challenged to go a little bit further in our time in the Word. Everything shows us, all the statistics, all of it shows us that believers are trending in the wrong direction when it comes to this stuff. But we don't want to be that way. We want to trend in the right direction. And so, whether it was last week or today, any Sunday, God, I just pray that you would continue to work our hearts, work on our minds, lead us to that place where we are just hungry to be in your word. Lead us to that place where we just can't wait to be in your word. And help us in those times when we aren't. Help us in those times when it's just not something that feels like a priority. Nudge us, push us, encourage us so that we can be the kind of believers who live by your word, who are transformed by your word, and are used by your word. And so as we finish with this song, God, would it be for your glory? Would it be a way in which we give thanks to you, a God who paid our ransom, who died on our behalf, who took on a sinner's death, something that each of us deserved, and yet you freely took that ransom. We give thanks for that today. You are worthy. We ask these things in your name. Amen.